Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this Palm Sunday, is John chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, when I was doing my personal devotions this morning, I ran across this prayer. I'd like to read it for you. It says, Almighty God, who lives forever, but has set bounds to our lives on this earth that we cannot pass, grant us true wisdom, that we set not our hearts on earthly things, neither follow after mammon or wealth, but seek first your kingdom and the righteousness of your Son. By the operation of your Spirit, teach us to remember that we are but pilgrims on this earth, and help us to fix our hearts and our hopes above where Christ is, sitting on your throne. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, in today's gospel lesson, said, unless a grain of wheat, having fallen into the earth, dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it bears many seeds. Now, quite obviously, our Lord Jesus was talking there about himself. That's pretty straightforward. It raises a question, though, and that is, why did he come into this world? Why did he come into this world? Well, we know for one thing, we can be sure about, he didn't come into this world to save himself. And we know that every time we come into church and we see a cross on the wall. He did not come into this world to save himself. He did not come into this world to preserve himself. He did not come into this world to make sure that whatever is evil in the world would go the other way, and that whatever is good in the world would come his way. That's not why he came into the world. And so it is that the symbol of our faith is a cross. It's not a crown. It's not a lottery ticket. Nothing like that. Just a cross. To use his own words from the lesson for today, our Lord Jesus did not love his life here. Now you want to be careful how you hear that, because it sounds like he was perhaps suicidal or depressed or something along those lines, had a death wish. No, that's not the point. He did not love his life here. And why would you? Why would you? If you had just come from the glory of heaven, why would you love your life here when you had been in everlasting life with your heavenly Father? I mean, think about it for a moment. What if you've been to Six Flags? Or what if you've been to Disneyland? Now, if you've been there, when that little circus comes into town that camps out in the mall parking lot, are you going to be impressed? Are you going to say, oh my word, this is the whole meaning of my life. This is the whole purpose. This is what I've been waiting for with bated breath. Is that what you would do? Well, our Lord Jesus, he's been to heaven. He's been in eternity in heaven with his Father. And if you've been in the eternity of heaven and the glory of heaven, what could you possibly want here in the fullest sense? What could permanently hold your interest? What could permanently capture your attention? What could fill you with such cravings and such longings that you just have to have it? You can't live without it. What could make you in any way possibly feel empty or without a purpose or filled with despair and hopelessness because it didn't happen for you? It didn't come your way. How could you feel that way? Why would you feel that way if you had been in the glory of heaven? You would judge things rightly. you would see what is the Disneyland and what is the little circus. Psalm 73. Lord, whom do I have in heaven but you? Whom do I have in heaven but you? And earth has nothing that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God is my portion forever. Let's take it a step further. What could possibly bring you from there, from being in heaven, to here? What could possibly be your motivation? Because most folks would look at you and say, what? That's nuts. If you've been there, why would you come here? Well, one thing's for sure, you wouldn't be doing it for yourself. You would not be doing it for yourself. It would have to be because someone else wanted you to be here. It would have to be because somebody else needed you to be here. And so John chapter 6, Jesus said, I've come down from heaven. And I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but you can say where it goes, but to do the will of him who sent me. Somebody wanted me here, he says. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Someone else wanted our Lord Jesus here. And it's right in that most well-known verse of the Bible, the one you always see behind the goalpost at the football game. What is it? John 3:16. Who wanted Jesus here? God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That was his will. That's what he wanted. Who needed Jesus to be here? Same verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The person who needed Jesus here was you, and that person was me. If the Lord hadn't come here, we would perish. If the Lord hadn't come here, there would be no way to avoid our destiny. If the Lord hadn't come here, there would only be an eternity in hell that awaits us because of our sins, richly and justly deserved. But our Father had a different plan. He wanted his Son to be here, to come down here, and we needed him to come here. And so Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat, having fallen into the earth, dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it bears many seeds. And he was talking again about himself, how today's second lesson, how he humbled himself, book of Philippians chapter 2, how he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Like we say to our new members, he took the bullet for your sin. The Lord Jesus took your failing report card and he gave you his so that you could present that before your heavenly Father, his perfect report card. And so Jesus is talking about himself and the work that he came to do. The seed planted in the dirt, the seed itself dies, but something else comes out of it, and that is the plant, everlasting life. He's talking about himself. But before we say amen, we'll want to recognize that he was also talking about you. He was also talking about me. You and I would be one of the many seeds that would result. You and I would be baptized in his name. You and I would be given the forgiveness of sins. We would be given the Holy Spirit to believe so that we could confess our faith. You would be given, and I would be given, the Lord's angels to watch over us. We would be given the Lord's hand to see us all the way to the goal of everlasting life. You and I are one of the many seeds of God's mercy from that one seed that God planted. But remember also, what is the purpose of a seed? What is the task of a seed? What is the job of a seed? What is a seed there for? Seeds don't come into the world to preserve themselves, to make sure that whatever is good in the world comes your way, to make sure whatever is bad in the world goes the other way and gets out of the picture. No, seeds come into this world for a reason, and that is they come into this world in order to be planted into the dirt. Planted into the dirt, and children of God as well are here, not to make sure the bad things stay away and the good things come to us, but also to be planted into the dirt. That's what your Father wants, and that's what your neighbor needs. Now, when we talk in such a way, immediately it seems to me our eyes and our attention fly off to big things. We think about big projects or big causes or big programs. In our bulletin, each month we have a different thing that's sponsored by LWML. These are good things, it's not wrong. We think about these big projects that are done, but if you look at the commandments of God, while they can include big projects, most of the time they are talking about things that operate on a much more local level, and a humbler level, a lower level. The commandments of God, things like call upon the Lord in every trouble, or treasure His word, or respect the authorities, or husband and wife love and honor each other, or explain everything in the kindest way. All those little tiny things on a very low level all stem, of course, from the first commandment, which is what? You shall have no other gods. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. All of God's commandments, but in such a simple way, a straightforward way. Nothing big out, way out there, just the people around you, honoring God, but also what is it that they need? What is it that they need? In the book of Acts, when the apostles preached about the Lord Jesus in their day, people said, they're turning the world upside down. They're turning everything upside down. And it's true. Ask anyone, and they will tell you, isn't the right thing, isn't your purpose, isn't the reason that you're here, isn't your major motivating force in your life just to make sure that the bad things stay away from you and the good things come to you? Other people can have that too, but what I'm looking for is that the bad things stay away from me and the good things come to me. To love your life, to preserve your life, to save your life. And then if you want God part of your life, may as well put Him in there too. That would be the right thing, perhaps, if this world is all you've got and there is no God and there is no salvation. But you've got more than that. You've got salvation. You have more than that. You have the Lord God Almighty, and you have eternal life together with Him. And if you have that, if you have that, the glory of heaven waiting for you, what ultimately could you possibly want here? What ultimately could hold your interest and have your attention continuously? What could capture your attention? What could fill you with such cravings and longings that you just have to have it and you can't live without it? What could possibly make you feel empty and without a purpose, and fill you with despair, and fill you with hopelessness because it didn't come your way, it didn't happen for you? What could possibly do that? You got eternal life waiting, together with the Lord. Now today's lesson says, at first Jesus' disciples did not understand all this. Who does? It's not the way that we think. At first they did not understand this, but only later did they realize these things. And that happens for all of us. When the Holy Spirit is at work, and one time in our life we're over here, and then we're here, and then we're here. But what we always want is what? We always want what every kid wants. I want to grow up. I want to grow up in my faith. I want to mature in my faith. I want to be a person who looks to my Lord and my Savior. Not that I can't have things here, but that's not got my interest. I want to know my Lord Jesus. I want to follow my Lord Jesus. I want to trust in my Lord Jesus. Psalm writer, Lord, who have I got in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God is my portion forever. And so the words of the prayer. And would you bow your heads, please, and pray with me. Almighty God, who lives forever, but has set bounds to our lives on this earth that we cannot pass, grant us true wisdom, that we set not our hearts on earthly things, neither follow after mammon or wealth, but seek first your kingdom and the righteousness of your Son. By the operation of your Spirit, teach us to remember that we are but pilgrims on this earth, and help us to fix our hearts and our hopes above, where Christ is, seated upon his throne. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.